Hey, moneymakers, welcome back to another live edition of Taking Stock. I'm Kalila Reynolds, and we're bringing you all the latest business news and telling you how it will affect you and your money. Honeybun dropped some sweet news recently. They're making a $1 billion investment for a new production facility. Could we be getting some new products? But before we get to that, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. Also, let me know in the comments where you're joining us from, what part of Jamaica, what part of the world. Now, here's a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by what's hot in business. And of course, come on, let's get this money.
On this episode of Taking Stock, Honeybun is rolling out the dough for their latest expansion plans. The baking company is set to build a $1 billion facility in St. Catherine, doubling its manufacturing capacity. What's on the rise for one of Jamaica's fastest growing wholesale bakeries? CEO Michelle Chong joins us live to share insights into Honeybun's plans. And the analyst weighs in on the latest market developments. How do global economic conditions influence Jamaica's foreign exchange market? We'll discuss. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Forecasters are predicting an extremely active 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. The research team from the Colorado State University Tropical Meteorology Project said it forecasts 23 named storms, including 11 hurricanes, 5 of which will be major hurricanes. The team said the forecast is of above normal confidence. They explained that the current warmer than normal tropical Atlantic, which is influenced by the La Niña phenomenon, will influence hurricane formation and intensity this year. Lasco Manufacturing and Lasco Distribution are officially main market companies. The companies made the transition just before the Easter holiday. Both companies listed on the junior market of the Jamaica Stock Exchange in 2010 and have grown significantly. Lasco Distribution revenues grew from roughly $7 billion in 2012 to $26.5 billion in 2023, while for Lasco Manufacturers, revenues climbed from $1 billion to almost $14 billion. Both companies can now try to raise additional capital on the main market if needed. The first direct United Airlines flight from the United States to Guyana landed last week. The United launched the new nonstop service last Monday, flying from Houston, Texas, and landing in Georgetown. Guyana's tourism minister said the start of this service is a significant development for the country's tourism industry. She said it will provide Guyanese citizens with greater travel options while bringing more tourists to the country. She said it will also have a positive ripple effect throughout the country's economy, creating jobs and supporting local businesses. U.S.-based fast food giant McDonald's says it will be purchasing all 225 of its franchise restaurants in Israel. The company says the decision comes as the conflict between Israel and Hamas is affecting their business negatively. McDonald's has over 41,000 stores worldwide, which are operated by local franchisees. Franchisees operate as independent business owners and can decide wages and prices and are free to make statements or donations as they see fit. The company said it is committed to the Israeli market and to ensuring a positive employee and customer experience. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
I can afford to pay for my honey, don't worry about it. Everybody goes through bad times. I mean, how much do you need? I can help you out. You know, I got your back all the time, right? Here you go. You need some gas money too? What else do you need? You need rent? Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Just take it off. So, excuse me. So, I had there. Oh, no, here it is. Why you better come? And you ordered the most food, too? Excuse me, miss. Sweetie, I'm sure there's a way out of this. Like, all you need is a job. Waiter, do you have any dishes that she could wash? Babe, hush. This isn't you, right? We're gonna get your life back on track. We're gonna sort out your finances. Take my masterclass and we'll figure all of this out, right? Let's get this money.
Welcome back. So in March, actually, before I tell you about, you know, our discussion for today, let me shout out some of our early viewers. Let me see who we have and where they are from. So we got Raquel saying, good night, moneymakers. Happy quarter. Yes, indeed. And happy new financial year for those who start your financial year in April. Who else we have? Reconstruction of Mindset says, let's get this money. We got Adrian checking in from St. Mary. We've got Raquel in Kingston. We got Richard saying, blessed evening, everyone. Colette is in Kingston checking in. Nana Sense, as usual, checking in from far, far away. We got Orlando all the way in Grange Hill, Westmoreland. We have Russell in Trinidad and Tobago. Antoinette, usually joining us from Arizona. Ryan wants to know what Honey Bun has for us. We have Humble checking in from Negril and Roswell in Unity Hall, St. James. Philip, as usual, in Turks and Caicos, and Patricia in Bermuda. Chevane in Portmore. Mobe in the house as well. So yes, we got our viewers all over the world today and all over Jamaica. Well, in March, Honey Bun revealed their decision to expand their manufacturing facilities with a $1 billion investment. Big things. We get a taste of what the future holds for the baking company in tonight's discussion with Honey Bun CEO Michelle Chong. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Kalila. Hello, everybody. Nice to be here with you.
It is so good to see you. The last time I saw you was in person. We spoke on Money Moves. That was probably like 2 years ago.
And it's probably about that.
Now your first time here on Taking Stock and to discuss some pretty good news as well.
That's right. Exciting.
All right. But for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm Michelle Chong and I'm the CEO of Honey Bun. Honey Bun is 42 years old. And, you know, I've been the CEO at Honey Bun for the 42 years now. So it's been a while. Honey Bun is also a family business. My husband is my co-founder. So we work together in the business. And I have two of my children in the business. Danielle, who is my oldest son, he's also the deputy CEO, so he's a part of a succession plan. He's been on the board of directors now for a while. And Dustin is my other son, who is the chief sales and marketing officer. So we have a growing company. We started in 1982 with 12 staff, and now we have 500, over 500 staff now. So we've grown a lot. We've had many expansions during our time in business, and our last expansion was in 2018 when we added about 10,000 square foot of production space. But guess what? The space is all used up, and Daniel needs to automate as I hand over. He needs to automate more to get more capacity and better quality and just keep with the times. So that's the plan.
So when you say automate, because the big talk now is AI and, of course, robotics as well, working in tandem with AI, what's the plan for automation for Honey Bun? Like, how much of your facility is automated now and where do you want to get to?
So you would call our bakery facility semi-automated because some processes are automatic because you put the bread on the line and the bread goes around and it gets wrapped and it gets packed. And some of the processes are more manual where you take the pieces up off the line or off of a machine that forms them and you put them in the pans. So to automate a bakery, it is a lot of footprint that you need. you know, big computers are small. So if you have a technology company and you want to expand, it's much easier. But when you want to expand and bring in an oven, you're going to need a lot of space. So we have been upgrading our capacity over the couple of years, but you know, it's amazing how space can go. So we're semi-automated and we want to automate the lines as much as we can in the space that we are getting.
You know, there are a lot of people who, when you say automation, for them, it's a bad word because they feel like you are, you know, replacing humans on the job. Like you're not having as many people working because machines are replacing our jobs. Like, how do you see it?
So how I see it is that once your business is growing, you need people. So it may not be in the production facility. It might be in another area of the business, for example, sales. So you may cut back on one area and increase on another area. But once a business is growing, you always have a demand for labor. And the important thing is that we keep meeting the needs of our customers. And if our customer needs more standardized products, then you give the customer what they want and you continue to develop your staff so that they can take on new roles, manage equipment, bigger equipment, improve food safety. So it's a... It's an ongoing process of improvement, in other words.
Right. So I see a comment here that made me chuckle. It said, the Easter bonnet sell off on my ends right now. I have two left out of the five that I bought.
You're lucky. A lot of people say they couldn't help it. They had to eat off a whole bun during Easter.
And we have another comment saying, congrats on the expansion. Love this for the Jamaican economy. So let's talk about some of your numbers before we come to the expansion. For your first quarter, which ended December 31, you have a 15% increase in revenues. You're going from 817 million now to 941 million. So you're almost a billion-dollar company, and your net profits are almost are also up 25%. So talk to us about what you've been doing to get this increase.
So it's a few very obvious things. One of them is focusing a lot on production efficiencies. Like I said, we have been investing in equipment even this year. So, you know, if you can increase your efficiency by a percent, it means that you can get a lot more on the bottom line, because at a $3 billion sale, if you can get 1%, that's a lot. So that's one big one that we're continually focusing on. The other one is distribution. How do you get your product into markets that they weren't in before? How do you also distribute more efficiently and let it cost you less? So that's very important. So that's what our sales and marketing manager focuses on. How can he distribute more almost for the same cost? So he has a lot of plans in place. He has a lot of strategy. So, you know, efficiency is an amazing thing. You can save a lot of money through that. So that's what's been happening, why the sales are going up 15 and the profits are going up 25.
Mm-hmm. How much are you exporting right now?
I won't give you the percentage, Kalila, but I'll tell you that it's not a whole lot. And part of that reason is because of the capacity that we constraints that we have, even with space and equipment. So this is one of the main purposes that we're expanding our facility, to be able to export more, because we do have export markets, but we can't work them the way we would like to. We have to almost not share the secret. We have to manage the communication with our distributors. But once we have the facility and we have the capacity, it will be one of our main goals to export more. So we're currently in some good stores in the UK. We're at Asda and Tesco. And we're also in Canada in the Loblaw chain. And we're also in the US, but more to the smaller grocers, not as many chain stores there. So we need to export more, and we have new products waiting for the space so that we can export more as well.
I thought you would have been in markets closer to home, CARICOM markets, for example, and diaspora markets in Jamaica, because even though you're a Jamaican company, your products aren't necessarily niche products. Cinnamon rolls and honey buns and donuts and those things, those are universal.
Yes. So we are in a lot of the Caribbean islands. We do export to them, but they're not the quantities that we see in the UK and Canada. We will be shipping a container of products to the UK or Canada, whereas the Caribbean will be taking 10, 15 cases of a product. It's not high volume. So that's a problem.
Why is that?
Well, they're smaller markets, that's for one. And I think many of the Caribbean islands don't have direct flights. So some of them you have to go to Miami with the product and then to the island. So the shelf life of the product does not like Miami and then to another island. So those direct flights have, they are where we see more interest in sales.
That would be a challenge indeed, making sure that the product is still fresh when somebody purchases. But you're all the way in the UK. Like, how long does it take for the product to reach?
Those products are Easter buns. They last longer. Oh. They have a good shelf life. And our rum cakes as well have a good long shelf life. So once we get our capacity up and going, we can certainly look at marketing more to the islands and to other places in the U.S.
Is the Easter bun a newer product? Because I don't really typically associate honey bun with Easter bun.
Right. Well, we have Easter buns at Easter time. In the UK, when they buy from us, it is
You've labeled. Always had it, though? I know I saw it on the shelves this year, but I can't recall seeing it
before. You know why? Because we service the export market primarily over even our local markets, because the UK take that product all year round. They label it as a spice bun. They don't call it Easter bun. It's a spice bun. But there are regular customers throughout the year. So at Easter time now, when we have a local demand, we can't cut our regular customer in the UK, because they also have increased demand. So at Easter time, it's a tough thing, because you have to continue to service your export customers as you did before, and they also want more. So unfortunately, we don't have as much for the local market.
I see. So I have a question here from Andrew. Andrew wants to know, does Honey Bun use local ingredients?
Yeah, so as much as we can, we use local ingredients. The only ingredients that we import are those very minute ingredients that add quality to our product that are very specialized. And so those are not in volume. And wherever we can, we always buy local product ingredients.
Okay. I mentioned earlier that you are almost a $1 billion company. You're at 9-something in revenue. Is that a number that you are keeping your eye on for when you cross that $1 billion mark? Like, is that a significant milestone that you're watching?
Yes, but we're not expecting that it's going to take that much, because we have a lot of market that we can service quite easily once we get our new facility. But we keep our numbers on the sales all the time. Very important. That will be a significant accomplishment for us.
Invite me to the party. Make sure you invite me to the party when you reach the billion.
Yes, okay.
So, all right, we've been talking as well about the expansion project. Tell us more about what that's going to entail, this $1 billion investment.
So we've got a beautiful facility out by in Angel's area. And the building is there already, so we just have to retrofit it for a bakery. So it's not like we're starting from scratch. We just have to put in the specialized floors. You know, we're very big on food safety, so it's going to take quite a bit for us to make sure all the food safety features are in, and the electrics, the flooring. Flooring is a very difficult thing. The facilities, the staff facilities, etc. And then we're going to have to, we're already purchasing equipment to put in the new facility, and we will move over some of our existing equipment that are in, you know, in good condition, but we'll be moving over the, some equipment and buying some new equipment. But the longest time will be really just retrofitting that building, which is practically new. So we're very excited about it.
So is it just a factory space, or will there be an outlet as well, similar to the Retirement Crescent location?
We're not starting with an outlet because there are lots of controls around, you know, who enters the premises and that sort of thing. So where we are at Retirement, we found a way to put an outlet right at our front gate, so we don't have to have customers coming into the bakery. So we will find a way to eventually make products available at that facility as well, but that's not our primary objective.
So what's the timeline for this to be up and running?
Between 7 and 10 months. So before the end of the year.
Okay, looking forward to that. It is a massive expansion project. Like we said, $1 billion. It's set to more than double your manufacturing capabilities. Mm-hmm. You know, our viewers like to hear the numbers, like to talk about the money. How is Honeybun financing this? Are you able to share?
Well, if you notice from our balance sheet, we have a very strong balance sheet. So we have a lot of cash to put in, and we will also, we're already sourcing a loan. So it will be cash and a loan.
And can you say in what proportion?
Maybe 50-50. Maybe. So they're almost equal. But when we get down to the fine print to sign up on it, we'll decide how to structure the financing.
Y'all got money. That's a great position to be in. You got money to reinvest. I love that. So with all this money being spent on the new facility, should the public be looking towards price increases in goods to make up for that spend, or you got it like that?
No, we're not going to be using price increase to finance the debt, so to speak. What we do is we make our products really good so that customers will buy it. So price increases really are looked at when we have input increases. And even when input increases, we normally try to find ways to improve efficiency, which we have done. We've become so good at it. But, you know, price increase is a matter of your ingredients input. If those go up, then possibly yes.
So but what's that been like? Finance. What's that been like for Honeybun? Because I feel like all of us have been hit by inflation in the past year, in the past couple of years, actually. How mm-hmm. has that impacted Honeybun?
We are very careful how we make price increases. We do a lot of competitive studies, and we do a lot of costings. We have good software, good ERP softwares that do costings for us. But if we see that our margins are increasing because of our efficiency, we give the customers a buy. We don't increase it because we share that benefit with our customers.
So looking at, in the chat, people are asking about products. I see one particular, Andrea asking, any local cocoa and coconut products? Is that cocoa or coca, you said? And coconut products coming soon?
Yeah, coconut, I was just saying to someone who visited with the factory, it's very unfortunate that we don't have a local person who processes all the coconut that we have to make desiccated coconut for production. You know, we can't really process coconuts in the way we need to use it. And cocoa, we use both local and imported cocoa because the prices... If we can import it cheaper, then it's something that we will look at for our customers to keep prices down.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get local coconut, but, you know, we have to match the prices with what we're importing it at. And coconut, I'm calling out there, if anybody wants to find, if we can find a local supply of coconut to get us desiccated, so coconut, we will use a lot of it.
Okay, you guys hear that? Anybody into coconut farming? Michelle Chung wants to do business with you. So with the expanded capacity, manufacturing capacity, are there going to be any new products coming up?
Yes, we have a few new products that we have to be keeping under the hat.
Oh,
we can't bring them out because we can't produce them in the factory that we have. So there will be new products.
How soon? After the factory is open?
Yes, maybe a couple months afterwards, as soon as that, because we've had them developed already.
Well, I'm excited to hear what those products are. Everybody say in the chat saying that your cinnamon roll is the best. One big Arab family says, just saying, if it's not a honey bun cinnamon roll, I don't want it. Microwave for 20 seconds with cheese.
And try it with cream cheese. It's amazing with cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
You know, last year we launched our cinnamon bread, which is a loaf bread with cinnamon filling in the rolled into it, and it is so popular, but we just cannot meet the demand, so we just have to be able to make sure that everybody's getting that product. It's amazing. You use that cinnamon loaf and you put it in egg and you make a French bread with it. It's outstanding.
Nice.
So you'll soon get enough of them.
I love a good cinnamon bread. I have Ryan here saying, pity the loan was not coming in the form of a bond. Is a bond something? Cause you said you haven't really fully decided.
We haven't finalized the structure, yes. So
it could be a bond.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay, good. Next question comes from Javon, who's thinking about your planning. He wants to know, with the new deputy CEO being appointed, does this mean you'll be retiring soon or take on a different role in the company?
Okay, so Javon, thanks for that opportunity to answer. I've already taken on another role. I'm still very much available to the deputy CEO, and he manages most of the operations of the business. And, you know, being a young engineer, he has a lot of talent that I grew up in business without, most of them being engineering. But my new role has been founder of the Honeybun Foundation. And that's where I'm really passionate about giving back and helping smaller businesses to develop models for businesses to make them grow and to do business better. The Honeybun Foundation is not into helping one cocoa fill basket. We want to just help by putting out business models for companies, small companies and medium companies, so they can do well in business, because when everybody does well in business, there's more people to buy our product. And our focus is always about how to get companies to export more, earn more for Jamaica, add to the GDP and the bottom line. So that's what I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And we've already had this year's our third set of companies that we provide advisors for these companies. And they're on a one-year program, and we support and handhold them. So we're doing a lot of things at the foundation, and that's my outgoing role.
Outgoing, interesting. Steve says, love what you're doing with MSMEs. Just remind the people how they can participate in that program with the Honeybun Foundation. You have your app, right? It's the GAP app.
We have our GAP app, which we spoke about before, Kalila. But our programs are on thehoneybunfoundation.com. On the website, use the word thehoneybunfoundation.com. And you can see more about the work that we're doing.
Okay. And let me just piggyback on something that you mentioned earlier. You said your role in the foundation is your outgoing role. You have been CEO for 42 years, which is a long time.
Yes.
Do you have a timeline on your exit? You looking to just...
It will be very gradual. I'm available. I mean, I'm available. I'm there for my children, and I'm there for the management team. We're developing our management team. They just finished a program with Red Belt, with Marcia Wunchoy, because we're developing stronger leaders in the company because the company is growing. So we're going to need it. And I'll be there. I'll be in an office beside them. So whenever they need information or opinions, I'm still there. And that's the best way, I think, to really hand over to the next set of, to the next generation or to the next set of managers. You're there still, you know. It's not like you wait until you die and then they can't find you to get any advice.
Yeah, I hear that.
There.
So Philip wants to know, why debt and not equity?
Philip, I think that equity is an option for us, but I think if it goes equity, then it would be something where the partner is very strategic. It has to be a strategic partner. So it's a discussion that we have and we're having, but it's going to have to be a good fit and good for the company.
It's a very diplomatic answer, which I would expect. So your company, we recently heard, I think it was in What's Hot just now, the Lasco company is moving to the main market. How close will this expansion put Honeybun towards migrating to the main market as well?
Well, it will probably put us very close. It's something that we have to start discussing now. So as soon as we get over this hurdle with the expansion, it's something that we'll have to discuss.
Okay. What about dividends? The people want to know. Steven says, do you intend to pay regular dividends? And how will the project affect dividend payments?
So we don't have any plans to change our dividend policy. From we went public, we've paid dividends. In fact, we've paid more and more as a percentage of income over the period that we have gone public, and we don't intend to stop. So no changes there.
How often do you pay dividends?
Twice a year.
Not bad. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. Any other plans that you'd like to share with us before you leave?
Well, I think if I started to talk, I would probably end up talking about the foundation. And I know this is a Honeybun interview. I just want to remind our customers or shareholders that Honeybun is very firmly rooted in international standards for food safety. That's important because once you open your mouth to put food in your mouth, you have to say to yourself, do I know how it was prepared? Honeybun's workers are all internationally trained on food safety. So, you know, I could say to my workers, you could go and work in Switzerland because you have all the food safety training that you need. This is important for us. And it's important for customers. They're eating things because it's nice, and it is nice, but you're also eating the safest food in Jamaica. So that's important as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michelle. Looking forward to all the new things to come from Honeybun and your international expansion.
Thank you. Thank you, Kalila. Thanks for inviting me. And awesome. All the best to you and what you're doing. You're doing a marvelous job.
Thank you. Thank you okay. so much. Looking okay. forward to the $1 billion party.
Okay.
Revenue numbers.
Okay, Camp. Then.
Excitement. All right. So let me take some comments from the viewers. Finessing Finance says, when I saw the news info about Honeybun's $1 billion investment, I was very excited. Roswell says, in Jamaica, we will have a demand for labor depending on the industry. Other countries, though, have reduced staff significantly to keep up with inflation. Eric says, definitely think marketing to the Caribbean along with the Reformation automation step is a big move. A strong international sales team would make this possible. Then we have Nana Sen saying, a lot of your products are in the Caribbean stores, such as Nicey Amples, Loblaws, one of the many stores where your products are at. Andrew wanted to know if they're going into the banana chip space. Interesting question. Well, she did say that she can't tell us what products they have cooking up. And One Big Irie Family is reminding everybody to like up the live. Of course, we want to get those likes coming in. It does help us with the algorithm. Now, before we take our poll question, have you signed up for the Money Mission community yet? If not, Here's a clip from last night's Money Mentorship.
Money isn't an end in itself, just having the money just to have the money. You want to have the money to be able to do something. Is it that you want to live comfortably, retire and don't have to worry and you have money coming in? Is it that you want to have your children and grandchildren taken care of? And then what specifically, if you said something like, okay, I want to take care of my family, how, like what specifically can this income do for you and when? I need you to get a lot more specific. Have you heard the term SMART goals? I think once you come up with what your SMART goals are, that will guide you as to the type of investments that you should be making. But if you don't know what the end goal is, then it's going to be hard to decide what you.
All right, so the next Money Mentorship comes up on May 8th. It's the first Monday of every month inside the Money Mission community. Time now for our poll question. So let me find back the poll question. What do you think about Honeybun spending $1 billion for a new facility in St. Catherine? A, I'm excited. This means new products. B, not a great idea. C, what does this mean for shareholders? D, this means more jobs for people in the area. Or other, leave a comment. So take the poll on Twitter or on the community tab of my YouTube channel. You can also leave your comments in the chat. And remember to hit the like button. Up next, we've got your market recap and our analyst is standing by.
Money isn't an end in it.
On this episode of Taking Stock,
money isn't an end in itself, just having the money just to have the money. You want to have the money to be able to do something. Is it that you want to live comfortably, retire and don't have to worry and you have money coming in? Is it that you want to have your children and grandchildren taken care of? And then what specifically, if you said something like, okay, I want to take care of my family, how, like what specifically can this income do for you and when? I need you to get a lot more specific. Have you heard the term SMART goals? I think once you come up with what your SMART goals are, that will guide you as to the type of investments that you should be making. But if you don't know what the end goal is, then it's going to be hard to decide what you should.
The JSE Combined Index lost over 2,000 points or 1% last week. 124 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week ending Friday, April 5, 2024. 42 made gains, 68 lost value, and 14 stayed the same. 640 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $2.3 billion. TransJamaican was last week's most traded stock. It took up 85% of market volume, with 547 million shares trading. The stock lost 11 cents to open the new week at $3.23. General Accident Insurance traded the second highest. The stock gained 62 cents to open Monday at $6. And Wigton rounded out last week's most traded with 15 million shares changing hands. The stock gained 3 cents to open Monday at $1.15. Now let's see who are the biggest gains for the week. Iron Rock Insurance was the market's biggest gain, up 17% last week. The stock opened Monday at $2.51. Honeybun was the week's second biggest gainer, up 15%. The company recently announced plans to invest $1 billion to boost production. And T-Tech was up 14% to close the week at $2.30. On the losing side now, the lab was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 25% open Monday at $1.34. MFS Capital Partners had the second biggest dip. The stock lost 21% to open the new week at $1.37. And Cygnus Real Estate Finance USD lost 18% to close the week at 9 cents US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index gained 20 points or almost 2% last week. JMMB was the most traded stock. The stock's price was unchanged, opening Monday at $1.51 TT. West Indian Tobacco Company was the biggest gainer of the week. The stock was up 40% to start the week at $15.49 TT. And on the losing side, Trinidad Cement fell 6% open Monday at $2.59 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones and the Nasdaq were down about 1% last week, while the S&P 500 was mostly flat. Over at the pumps, gas prices fell 12 cents last week, while the price of regular diesel dipped 45 cents and low sulfur diesel fell 25 cents. In foreign exchange, it took an average $155.62 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. That's $1.08 less than the week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $115.64 Jamaican to purchase $1 Canadian. One British pound cost, on average, $197.01 Jamaican. And finally, you could buy €1 for $170.58 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices were up almost 9% over the past 5 days, trading at $71,827 US on Monday, while Ethereum prices were up 10%. Trading at $3,646 US on.
I'm Khalila Reynolds, the Money General, and I'm on a mission to help you get better with money. Join me inside the Money Mission community, where I'll teach you how to manage money, make more money, and annihilate bad debt. Click the link in the description to sign up for your basic or premium membership. Let's get this money.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analysts, was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Let's get this money.
Welcome back. Reminding you again to hit up the like button right now. We have our analyst, let me see, who do we have here? Let me bring it up. Franz, yes, time now for the analyst. My guest today is senior trader at JMMB, Franz Moulton. Hi, Franz.
Hi, how are you? Good night.
I'm good. Is this your first time on the show?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to Taking Stock.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so today we're going to be looking at the foreign exchange market. So there are a lot of things that actually influence that market. The J dollar has been pretty stable since around COVID time, and probably a little bit before. But what are the things that influence that market?
So, before we go into the influences, let's just a quick little recap. Just FX, just the movement of one currency to the next. And why there's FX, it's just for us to buy goods and services, really. It's real to move from our local currency to another currency. The base currency, which is the US currency, that's the base currency, that's the world currency. That's the currency that most persons use. That's the tradable currency. So, there are other currencies. There's the euro, there's a CAD, there's a pound. But in Jamaica, we mainly use the US to do the bulk of our trading. Now, what influences that? Like any other market, demand and supply. So, Jamaica has been is a small economy, and we are heavily import dependent. We import a lot, whether goods and services alike. And for that reason, just like any other good, any other product, we demand heavily the US currency. So what you find happening is that for us as a small developing nation, we are heavily dependent on imports. So we have what we call a depreciating currency. Not anything alarming, but it's just the nature of our currency. Meaning that because of the nature of our economy, the dollar tends to depreciate over time. Over the last 10 years, our currency had depreciated by 35%. As you said, since COVID, the BOJ has been pretty active in the market. And as such, the currency hasn't depreciated that much. I mean, in the last year, I mean, there's a 1.9% depreciation. In 2022, there's an appreciation of 1.9%. So we find that the BOJ has been active in the market, trying to manage our currency. So, I mean, we have a floating currency. And what that means is that demand and supply heavily drives the market. But we have sort of a managed floating currency where the BOJ intervenes just to where there are gaps to make sure that the dollar is priced where they believe it should be priced.
So would you say the BOJ has been doing a pretty solid job of that? Because the dollar, like you said, it's fairly stable.
It's fairly stable over the last couple of years. BOJ has been very deliberate. And because, as I say, because of the nature of our economy. So one of the factors, as I would say, is that we demand a lot of foreign exchange, we demand a lot of imports. There's also COVID, which was an external shock, and that affected our currency as well. So what the BOJ had to do was to intervene in the market just to shore it up, just to make sure that, well, I mean, it doesn't spiral out of control, because whether we like it or not, the currency affects inflation. And that's also a deliberate attempt from the BOJ to manage inflation, because the depreciation of the currency have a direct link to inflation as well. So the BOJ has been very deliberate as it relates to just trying to control that. But for the most part, I mean, the demand and supply of just our economy, and because we are so heavily dependent on import, that's the main reason why you find that our currency is a depreciating currency. And it has been depreciating over the last couple of years. And unless the nature of our economy shifts, where we are now exporting more, and the government has been trying, I mean, there's remittance that helps us, and there's a tourism sector that helps as well, but it's not sufficient. So what you find is that because of this high demand coming in from just imports, our currency continues to depreciate year over year. So now the BOJ doesn't have a problem with depreciation, right? What they have a problem with is erratic depreciation. So they want managed depreciation, because a lot of persons base their prices of goods and services on how they can get the currency. So the BOJ see it fit to intervene. As a matter of fact, the last time they intervened was today. They intervened in the market with 30 million since the last year. Well, since January, they have intervened in the market with over 200 million, just to show you the volume of US that the BOJ is pumping into the market.
Oh, wow.
Just to make sure that the currency does not free fall, so to speak.
So would you say the BOJ is artificially keeping the currency stable?
I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, try to be as diplomatic as possible. So what I would say is that it's more a managed approach. So demand and supply still dictates where the currency goes. And if you look at our balance sheet is saying that we import far more than we export. So what the BOJ is saying that, okay, based on that reality, we might have a free fall in what is happening with the currency. So they will step in from time to time, especially when there is a gap. And for the most part, they only step in when there is a gap to make sure that the currency doesn't free fall. So they do affect the rate at which the currency depreciate. But it's just to fill gaps for the most part.
But what does all of this mean for us investors? Because there was a time not too long ago, 5 years ago, a lot of people, what we would do is just hold money in a USD account.
Yeah, so and that's also one of the reasons. That's also, and that's a very good point. That's one of the reasons why the BOJ will also feel the need to intervene. Why? Because there are also persons who speculate on the currency. So you have persons who because they know that we have a depreciating currency, persons buy the US and they hold it. And when you hold that US, what you do is that you create a gap, and it's an artificial gap, because what the BOJ wants is that whatever is being bought is being sold as it relates to the US. But when persons buy and hold the currency, it creates an artificial gap that there is a shortage, and sometimes there isn't a shortage. And so what it means for us is that, well, from the investing public, is that because of that gap, you find that the rate of depreciation is faster, is moving at a faster rate than it is supposed to be moving. And that push the BOJ to intervene in the market just to make sure that the pace of depreciation is at a managed level. So, I mean, for the investing public, for the most part, I mean, what we'll find is that because depreciation is a direct link to inflation, and inflation means rising prices, I mean, that can affect our purchasing power and how we can, you know, I mean, or we can invest in whether stocks or bonds or other stuff, because, I mean, we know the effects of inflation when it's too high.
So do you find that fewer people are now holding that money in U.S. accounts, buying U.S. just to temper against or to safeguard against depreciation?
Well,
or
are people
still doing it?
I mean, so the speculators are not going away, right? Because of the nature of our currency. And if you want to be safe, I mean, most persons, they are going to stay in the U.S. currency because they feel as if you are safe right there. So the speculators won't go away any at all. But what you can do is if you can temper the rate at which the currency is depreciating, then the incentive to hold will be minimized. So you find that especially since COVID, as I said, I mean the rate of depreciation have been significantly curtailed by the BOJ, and that this would be a disincentive for persons who want to hold the currency for speculative purposes. So in my mind, if I was supposed to harbor a guess, I would say that, well, you know, there's less speculators in the currency right now, just because there's not a lot of volatility as before. And what speculators like is volatility, because volatility can jump in and jump out, but that's not the best thing for the economy, because for the most part, persons who want to buy US to buy the currency for goods and services, if they cannot price at a particular price based on where they see the currency is moving, then they are going to price with a buffer to factor in that erratic.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so we have a question and a comment from our viewers. Tiwi says, please remember that the BOJ also buys the USD from the market, and last financial year they had a net purchase of the US currency. And then Andrew has a question, says, so based on what you were saying about imports versus exports, then is the GDP figures real if the trading currency is being managed?
Well, I mean, it is real, and a managed current, a managed FX market is not anything new to us. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far to say that most floating exchange rate have some level of management in it from that specific country's central bank, because especially in smaller economies that are heavily dependent on exports. So you find that central banks all over the world, just to make sure that, okay, persons can price properly, or they can price based on where they think, I mean, the currency is going to end up, they operate on a managed exchange rate regime.
Yeah, I have another question. I saw something about exports recently. I was trying to look it up. Interesting question coming from Javon online. Javon says, wants to know, what is your view on BRICS and the lifespan of the USD going forward?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question, Javon. But the lifespan of the US going forward is not going anywhere soon, in my opinion. If you look right across the world, I mean, that's still the dominant currency. I'll go as far as to say that if you are buying goods and services, even in those BRIC nations, they still heavily use the US dollar to trade. So I don't think the US is going anywhere soon. But however, I mean, you find that once the BRIC begins to establish itself, then they will make inroads into the US currency being the world currency. But they have a long way to go. I mean, and just like the US, it being the currency of choice, it did not move overnight. It took decades. So not saying that the BRICS will take decades, because with technology, things is moving like, you know, with AI, everything is moving like in as a quint. But as it stands right now, I mean, the US is not going anywhere.
All right. Thank you so much for your input this evening, Franz. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. We're going to take our final break and come back with your comments. I think.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analysts, was brought to you by JMNB Group, your best interest at heart.
I see you waiting for me. You're in my reach, but I have to have a little extra push to get close to you. Are you flirting with me? You want me to come get you, but you won't fall into my lap. You want me to show you that I want you. You want me to be responsible and proactive. Okay, you, I'm coming.
Big Octano, max out the marketing budget on those ones. So we're almost at the end of this week's show. Thanks again to Michelle Chung, CEO of Honeybun, and to Franz Moulton, senior trader with JMMB, for joining us. Make sure that you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and share with a friend. Let me see some of your final comments here. I was trying to look up something, because I know I heard something about Jamaica's trade deficit recently. I can't remember if it's something that Staten put out. It might have been something that Nigel Clark said in the budget presentation. But I was trying to look it up just now, and I saw there was a report by Staten a couple of days ago saying Jamaica's export earnings up 12% between January to November 2023, which is great. So our export earnings grew by 12%. Let me see. So we earned $1.9 billion from exports during that period, compared to $1.7 billion the same period in 2022. And hopefully next year, we'll have some more honey buns being exported, which can take it over the $2 billion mark, right? So we're looking forward to honey buns expansion and honey bun adding to those export numbers. But what did we spend on imports in comparison? So we exported $1.9 billion. We earned $1.9 billion from exports, but we spent $7 billion on imports during that period, which actually is less than the same period the year before. So we're earning more from imports and we're spending less. Sorry, we're earning more from exports and we're spending less on imports, which is generally a good trend. That is still a significant trade deficit. I think the point that I was trying to remember, it might have been the trade deficit with CARICOM. I have to look it up though. I don't want to give you guys bad information, but I think there's something was said about the trade deficit, perhaps with CARICOM specifically. If you guys in the comments know, in the chat know what I'm trying to remember, just let me know in the chat. Here we go. Let's see. Orville says fast dwindling. We have Steve, who said, with Jamaica's current account running a positive surplus since last year, wouldn't that make the BOJ's job easier? You would think. I'm surprised that they had to intervene in the market again. Javon says money scarcity has become a problem here in the sense that the availability of cash to the average person has declined. That is so true. That is so, so true. Like physical cash, especially being able to access your own money has become difficult. Lanesra says, is it that the cost of these exports increased or was it the volumes increased for the improvement? Did the cost increase or did we export more? So were we just charging more? Either way, we earn more money. So either way, I would say it's a positive thing. Let me see what else we have here. A few of you were asking about Wigton. Roswell said, one news report said Wigton has a prohibition on investors investing more than 10% in the company that should expire at some time soon. RN saying, I'm bullish on Wigton, scrape up some last week, gonna grab even more. Steve said, great idea, more volume equal more revenue equal more profit equal more dividends. And then we had one speed saying, I could nyam some bun and cheese right now. I'm with you on that one. One speed making me a little bit peckish right about now. That news in What's Hot in Business about the hurricane season, expected to be above average. I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all because it's so hot. And I feel like we are gearing up again for record temperatures this year because why is it April and it is already sweltering heat? Like from March, we have been having extremely hot temperatures, even up in Mandeville where I am most of the time, already hot. Usually I only need fan like July, August is when we turn on the fan. We already have to be turning on fan in Mandeville. The heat is insane. And you know, hurricanes like heat. So brace for a very active hurricane season this year, as you heard the Met people warning us. What do we have coming up this week? So today's Tuesday. On Thursday, we have a new episode of The Property Source with Remax coming up. So make sure you tune into that here on the channel, on YouTube, on Facebook on Thursday. Our topic is myths about real estate. And then on Friday, JN Talking Wealth is back. So that will be premiering on the channel. I can't remember what the topic is for the first episode, but JN Talking Wealth, a new season will premiere on Friday here on the platform. And you can check it out on Thursday over on JN's platform. So we're looking forward to that as well. I want to remind you to subscribe to the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter so that you get everything when it drops. Also turn on the post notifications so you can be the first to see everything when they come out. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray. Remember, those are my only accounts. I have no backup accounts. Please report the scammers and the impersonators whenever you see them. And if you want to connect with our analyst this week, check the description box for his contact information. You can also visit the website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. Watch the show, listen to the podcast, or read the episode summaries. Now tell a friend about Taking Stock because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thanks for watching. Oh, before I said thanks, shout out to our new producer, Unique, and our new editor, Jaylon. So you may have noticed some glitches in tonight's show. We do have a brand new production team. Well, members of the production team, Unique and Jaylon, big up yourself. I know it's not easy taking over brand new, both the editor and the producer at the same time. So this was Unique's first time producing the show, running everything behind the scenes. I know, like I said, it's not easy, but you did a good job. So shout out to Unique and Jaylon, our brand new team members. And with that, I leave you until next week. See you later.
Let's get this money.